Sid, my answers are 5, Return of the Jedi, and Han Solo. Okay. Great. We are starting a mini-series in the evening services, looking at images of the church that we find in Scripture. How is the church described? What images are used to describe the church so that we can get that better idea of what church should be and how we engage with church and how God sees church. And today we're starting with this amazing image of the church as the bride of Christ. And we're going to start by reading a passage from Revelation 21. It's actually the passage I preached on this morning as well at our morning service. And as Alison MacDonald read it so well, I was thinking, oh, I'm so glad I don't have to read that. There's some tricky things in there, but I do have to read it. So bear with me. Anyway, here we go. Revelation chapter 21, verses 9 to 27. One of the seven angels who had the seven bowls full of the seven last plagues came and said to me, "Come, I..." Ooh, that's very small, isn't it? You just have to listen. Those with good eyesight. "Come, I will show you the bride, the wife of the Lamb." And he carried me away in the spirit to a mountain great and high and showed me the holy city, Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God. It shone with the glory of God, and its brilliance was like that of very precious jewels, like a jasper clear as crystal. It had a great high wall within 12 gates, and with 12 angels at the gates. On the gates were written the names of the 12 tribes of Israel. There were 3 gates on the east, 3 on the north, 3 on the south, and 3 on the west. The wall of the city had 12 foundations, and on them were the names of the 12 apostles of the Lamb. The angel who talked with me had a measuring rod of gold to measure the city, its gates, and its walls. The city was laid out like a square as long as it was wide. He measured the city with the rod and found that it was 12,000 stadia in length, as wide and as high as it was long. The angel measured the wall using the human measurement, and it was 144 cubits thick. The wall was made of jasper, the city of pure gold, as pure as glass. The foundations of the city walls were decorated with every kind of precious stone. The first foundation was jasper, the second sapphire, the third agate, the fourth emerald, the fifth onyx, the sixth ruby, the seventh chrysolite, the eighth beryl, the ninth, topaz, the tenth, turquoise, the 11th, jacinth, and the 12th, amethyst. Excuse me, my dyslexia kicking in there. Lost that word. Anyway, the 12 gates were 12 pearls, each gate made of a single pearl. The great street of the city was of gold, as pure as transparent glass. I did not see a temple in the city, because the Lord God Almighty and the Lamb are its temple. The city does not need the sun or the moon to shine on it, for the glory of God gives it light, and the Lamb is in its lamp. The nations will walk by its light, and the kings of the earth will bring their splendor into it. Will its gates ever be shut, for there is no night there. The glory and honor of the nations will be brought into it. Nothing impure will ever enter it, nor will anyone who does what is shameful or deceitful, but only those whose names are written in the Lamb's Book of Life. So we have this amazing vision that John has in Revelation of the New Jerusalem. And this New Jerusalem is seen as the bride, the wife of the Lamb. Elsewhere, the scriptures tell us that the church is the bride of Christ. And so as we look at this vision of this perfect city, of this city in perfection, beautiful, amazing, such a wonder, all these things that make it so beautiful, what we see here is an image of the redeemed church, the people of God, the bride of Christ. I want to start by asking 2 questions. Do you see the church as Christ sees the church? And do you love the church as Christ loves the church? Now, when I ask these questions, it's not to say that we don't, but actually to challenge us to stand firm in that conviction and to go deeper as well. I'm constantly amazed by the faithfulness of the people who belong to this church, the sacrifice and commitment that they show in so many areas that enable God's ministry to happen in and through the church. But I think it's good at the beginning of this new term, as we think about the images of church, to start with this place, this amazing image of the Bride of Christ, with everything that it tells us about how Jesus sees the church, and ask ourselves, do we see the church in the same light? And do we love the church as Christ loves the church? One of the great privileges of being a vicar is that you get to take weddings. And as you take weddings, you have the best seat in the house. You're there, literally here, front and center, as that wedding is taking place. And one of the things that often comes up in the rehearsals, which we always have on the day before a wedding, is the groom is sort of asked, well, what should I do as the bride comes down the aisle? Should I, you know, just stand there looking ahead? Apparently the traditional thing is to look very stoically ahead and wait for the bride to come next to you. But I always encourage, I think that's nonsense, so I always encourage the groom to look round to see his bride coming into the church. Because actually for me, that was in my wedding, that great moment when Ruth came down the aisle, beautiful, radiant, my bride. My best man thought at that moment he was going to have to catch me because my legs did start wobbling a bit and my face started doing funny things. Anyway, but it was an amazing moment. This is how Christ sees his church as his bride. I'm not sure his legs wobble and his face does funny things, but he sees the church as his bride. Marriage is a sign and a glimpse of the relationship that God has with his people. The story of Scripture, if you like, is that God wants to marry us, that Jesus wants to marry us. And any marriage in this world is just a very small foretaste, a trailer of the main course to come, which is marriage to God. But part of earthly marriage, the purpose of earthly marriage, is to be that symbol, to give some insight into God's love for us. And we see that when Paul is talking about it in Ephesians 5. Where he's speaking about how husbands should be submitted to their wives and wives submitted to their husbands, submitted to each other in reverence to the Lord. And we think, well, this is good. Paul is talking about marriage here, and obviously he is a bit. But then right at the end of that passage, suddenly Paul says, actually, I'm not talking about that mainly. I'm talking about Christ and the church. The image we should have in our minds when it comes to Christ and the church is one of a marriage. God didn't sort of give humans marriage, invent marriage, and then go, oh, you know what? That's actually an example of how I'm going to love my people. No, it's the other way around. One of the reasons God created marriage was to illustrate his love for his people. And it's a good illustration also of our relationship with the church ourselves as well. When we first join a church, we might have experienced that sort of honeymoon period where everything is great. Lots of people are coming and saying hello and making us feel a welcome. We haven't quite worked out what the issues are around the church. Apparently other churches have issues. I know we don't, but everything seems rosy. People are making a fuss of us, and it's great. And then as time goes by, we encounter a difficulty or again, in other places, someone annoys us or something is done in a way that we don't like it being done. If we aren't in those moments choosing to love the church, then these things can become problems, irritations for us. But if we're choosing to love the church, then we look beyond those things and see the beautiful, radiant bride that we are called to be part of and that we are called to love. And so it's really important that we see this image, we have this image, especially as we look at the other images of what it means to be the church as well in the next few weeks. It's really important that we see the church as Christ sees the church, and he sees the church as his bride. And so we aspire to love the church as Christ loves it, and we aspire to be worthy of Jesus as his bride. So I want to quickly look at why this is so important that we have that really high image of church, that we invest in church and that we make it a priority in our lives. Firstly, it is important for God's sake. If we are the bride of Christ, then God, Christ has given that us a massive status, a really, really high status. And if we are the bride of Christ, then it's really important that we love the church as Christ does, as part of our desire to honor God. Quote I used this morning from John Stott says this: if the church is central to God's purposes, as seen in history and the gospel, it must surely also be central to our lives. How can we take so lightly what God takes so seriously? How dare we push to the circumference what God has placed in the center? Now, I've been told that when a bride is getting ready and prepared for their wedding, it can take a little while. It can take quite a long time for them to get prepared because they want to look as beautiful as they can, to be that radiant bride. And our attitude should be the same as those who've been called into the church to be part of the bride of Christ, that we should want to love the church as we love our own bodies, as Paul talks about in that marriage relationship. We should have a commitment to our fellow brothers and sisters within the body of Christ. We should want us all collectively, and us as part of that, to be a church, a bride that honors the bridegroom who is Jesus. Christ has given himself for the church to make us holy and cleansed, without stain or wrinkle or any other blemish, holy and blameless. He went to the cross. He died on the cross to make us that. And so we should live up to that status. We should aspire to be that bride. We should look to love one another, to be blameless in our relationships, to not allow any wrinkle or blemish into the church. And we should look to be holy ourselves as well in our own spiritual lives, so that as we take our part in the body of Christ, the bride of Christ, we aren't corrupting it with our blemished lives. And we do this to honor Christ, to be fit for him, to be worthy of him. As a husband, I want to be the best husband that I could possibly be, because my wife deserves that. And God deserves the best possible bride he could have. And we become that by seeking him and living the holy life that he has won for us. And we will do that when we love the church as Christ loves it and put it in that central place of importance. So it's important for God's sake. It's important also for our own sake. If we miss out on what God has for us, if we're not fully engaged with church and seeing it as Christ sees it. It's actually one of the great resources that God has given to us as his followers to be the best disciples that we could possibly be, to be the best bride that we could possibly be for him. He's given us the fellowship of believers so that we can support each other, encourage each other, spur each other on, to help each other, to meet each other's needs, and to point each other to Christ. And with the church, the old adage is true: the more you put in, the more you will receive. The more we choose to love the manifestation of the bride of Christ that God has called us to be part of here at SMB, the more we will be blessed in and by that fellowship and through that fellowship. This morning, again, I shared a sort of little theory that I have, that there's two forces at work in the church. There's a centrifugal force, that's that force that pushes something outwards. And there's also a centripetal force, which is a force that draws something into the middle. If we're not actively leaning into church, pushing into the middle, we will experience that force that pushes us out. We will drift out. And sadly, some people experience that and find themselves outside of the church. But as we lean into church, we will experience that other force at work in our life, that centripetal force that draws us into the middle. Because Scripture tells us that if we draw close to God, God will draw close to us. And at the center of the church is the person of Jesus. As we lean into church, we're leaning into Jesus. The more we serve in the community, the more we lean into God, the more that God will bless us. The more that we engage with the people of God, the more we will be drawn into the people of God. So as we think about our fellowship groups, as they start up again, it might seem, well, it's just another evening out. It means traveling across town or whatever, going out. But as we commit to it, we will realize what a great resource it is, and we'll find ourselves being drawn closer into the center of church, into the person who is at the center of the church, Jesus. Coming out on a Sunday, maybe I'm preaching to the converted now, but coming out on a Sunday evening to church might seem like the last thing that we want to do with a busy week ahead. But to be able to come and worship together and seek the Lord in his word is a great way to resource us and energize us for the week to come. Tithing our income, giving that 10% to the work of God through the church might seem like a struggle when there are so many other financial demands on us. But Scripture tells us the more we give to the work of God's kingdom, the more we will be blessed and see God's storehouse open up for us. Being part of the body, being part of the bride of Christ, is there to help us deepen our relationship with God, to encourage us on in our walk with God. And this is a joy and privilege of fellowship, and to truly gain all that we have, that there is for us, we need to commit ourselves once again to God's people, to the bride of Christ. We need to lean into that. So again, do we love Christ, the church, as Christ loves the church? Because he really loves it and laid down his life for it. So it's important for God's sake, it's important for our own sake and our walk with Christ. But it's also important that we have this vision of the beauty and of the place and the status of the church as the bride of Christ for the church's sake itself. If God has called us to belong to a certain fellowship, as he has done here at St. Mary Bredon, then he has a role for us to play in that fellowship. And we'll unpack that in future weeks when we look at what it means to be the body of Christ. But if we're not fully engaged in that, playing that role, then actually whatever, then the rest of the body, the rest of the fellowship is missing out. And if the rest of the body is missing out, then we're not living up to that status, that high status of the bride of Christ. We might feel, actually I'm all right, I don't need to go to church this Sunday, or the fellowship group during the week. But maybe someone else needs us there. Maybe there's a part God wants us to play through our presence with each other. No matter how prominent the role is or not, whether it involves a time commitment or a financial commitment or an emotional commitment, the role God is calling us to play is vital for the church. And Christ's bride, the church, misses out if we're not playing that role. It might be that actually we're there on a Sunday or we're there at fellowship group, not for ourselves in that moment, but just so that we can have that quiet word of encouragement to someone else who is struggling, so that they might continue to lean in to God and lean in to Christ. To play our part properly means choosing to love the fellowship, to see past its faults and its imperfections, and to play our part in the perfecting of the bride, so that we together as the bride of Christ may be the worthy bride for Jesus. So do we love the church the way Christ loves the church? And lastly, why it's so important that we have this image in our minds, that we see the church as Christ sees it, that we remember that we are the bride of Christ. It is important for the world's sake. It is so important that we love the fellowship, that we love the family of God, that we look to be the best bride that we can be for the sake of those who aren't yet part of the body. It's so exciting being a witness to what God is doing in the church, for the unity that he's continuing to grow here among us, for the new people that he's continuing to draw in, for the people he's drawing back into the fellowship, for the new people who will join us over the next few weeks. They don't know that they're going to be part of the family here yet, but it's exciting to think that God has this place for them. And when we experience that fellowship, we have, as we know here and can testify, there's fun. There's fellowship, there's friendship, there's support, there's encouragement, there's welcome and accepting. And there's so much power and blessing in unity and in fellowship among believers. It's one of the things that makes the bride so beautiful. It's our love for one another. Now, my one reservation in talking about loving each other and supporting each other is that we start to think about fellowship and unity and loving and serving each other, and we turn inward and become a sort of cozy, holy huddle. But actually, this is a false fear. Not that becoming a holy huddle is not a danger, and we need to be aware of that. But emphasizing fellowship and our love for each other and our looking out for each other and emphasizing that and reaching out to the world are not mutually exclusive. In fact, they're mutually dependent. As we become more and more united in love for each other, we will be more and more effective as the body that Christ wants us to be in reaching the world, more and more radiant as the bride. Jesus said, it's your love for one for each other that will show that you are my disciples. Our love for each other makes us that radiant bride. And our primary mission as a church is to reach out into the world with that good news of the gospel. As we choose to love each other in response to God's love for us, we will be forged into an instrument that God can use to add to his bride. So as we read these words in Revelation, this image that John has of this amazing, beautiful site, the New Jerusalem, what he's describing here is the bride, the wife of the Lamb. And the bride of Christ is his people. It is the church. It's an amazing status to live up to. It's an amazing thing to think about that we are part of. It should mean that we are never sort of have any self-esteem issues when we think that actually we are the bride of Christ. And it's important that we take hold of this status and we realize just how Christ sees us and how much he loves us. And we do that for God's sake so that he can receive the proper glory, so that Jesus can receive a bride that is worthy of him. We do it for our own sake because actually God has called us to be part of his bride, and we lose out if we're not playing our part in that. We do it as well for the world's sake as well, because we know that we have a mission. We know that actually we have a message to proclaim, and we do it for the rest of the body as well, because if we're not there, then the rest of the body is missing out, not reaching its full potential, that amazing, that beautiful potential as the bride of Christ. So that's why at the beginning of this term, I wanted us to start by looking at this amazing vision, this amazing status that we have as the bride of Christ, so that we might commit ourselves once again to love the bride as Jesus loves the bride, to love this expression of God's family and bride here at SMB that he's called us to be part of. And actually, loving SMB, I think, is really quite easy. I love this church. I love being part of it. I love leading it. It's a great church with amazing, faithful, godly people. But that doesn't mean we can sit back and think we're doing okay and pat ourselves on the back. Because we love and serve and give, not just because the church needs it, but because we need it as well. And we need to be obedient, and God needs to be honored. And so we do it for God's sake, we do it for our own sake, and we do it for the world's sake as well. So let's continue to love God's church. Let's continue to see the church as Christ sees the church. Loving each other, looking to be the best, most beautiful, most effective bride that we can be. A bride fit for the King of Kings. Radiant for our Lord and Savior. Why don't we stand together as we just commit ourselves once again to our Lord and Savior, Jesus. who loves us and died for us. And we know of Jesus' love for us. So I said in my sermon this morning, because of what he's done for us, that he laid down his life for us. And also we know that he loves us because of his plans for us, which is to be that people redeemed for him, made perfect, presented to him as his bride. So let's commit ourselves once again to our Lord and Savior. Lord Jesus, we thank you for your great love for us. That though when we were far off, you brought us home. And you brought us into fellowship, into your body, into your church, which is your bride. Lord, would we not lose sight of that status that we have? And would you help us to love the church as you love it, to see it as you see it? Help us to lean into church, knowing that as we lean into church, we lean into you. And as we draw close to you, you will draw close to us. So, Lord, we give ourselves once again to you. Would you continue to be at work in us, making us that radiant bride, so that radiance might shine from this place and from our relationship and be a witness to your love for us. So come, Holy Spirit, we pray. Just in your hearts now, just continue to commit yourselves once again to the Lord. There's no higher status than you could have received than to be brought in to the people of God that is the bride of the Lamb, the bride of Christ. And as we worship now, let's continue to just give ourselves to the Lord.